today on Life Talk.
Listen to what the Bible prophets promised and predicted about Israel. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. That was God's promise. I'm not going to promise you're not going to be attacked, but I am going to promise none of it's going to prosper. None of it's going to succeed.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire. Today, we're going to begin a brand new series on the last days. You know, you can hardly go online or read a religious article without hearing about the last days. With a world in great turmoil, rampant sin, constant wars, and increasing apostasy, people want to know, is the coming of Jesus near? Are we in the last days? Well, that's a topic we're going to be looking at in our next few times together. So grab your Bible and follow along with me as I share part two of the message, Longer Than You Thought. I'm going to be pulling the phrase, last days, latter times, last hour, latter days, the various phrases that essentially mean the same thing. Everywhere it's found in the New Testament, and I'm going to look at the context, and I'm going to teach what the author, what actually God is telling us in that particular passage. So we're going to look at, you know, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, the book of Hebrews, all the places where last days is mentioned. When talking about the last days, we need to remember that the New Testament Bible writers considered themselves to already be in the last days. So the last days is not just talking about the end of time or the period of time right before Jesus' return. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, Peter writes, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world." Isn't that amazing? Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. The Bible is a mind blower. But he goes on, "But has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." So Peter says when Jesus appeared, that kicked into motion the last times. Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses, the writer says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds." So we see that the phrase last days does not necessarily point to that time just before Christ's return, but it reaches back to the first century and to the time of Christ. So we've been in the last times, folks, a long time. John writes in 1 John 2, verse 18, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour." So there's that phrase again. And in Peter's amazing Pentecost sermon, he quotes the prophet Joel. And here it is, quote, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Now notice he says, "And in the last days it shall be." So Peter was telling the Pentecost crowd, this is that. This is what Joel prophesied of. The last days have begun. The last days are defined as the continuous period of time from the ministry of Jesus all the way to the second coming. Mankind has been living in the last days for 20 centuries and some change. So that's a long time. In understanding the Bible, it's helpful to think of the Old Testament this way. The Old Testament shows us the age of promise, and the New Testament is the age of fulfillment. The Old Testament is full of the promises of God. In the Old Testament, starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, God promised to send a Redeemer who would bruise the enemy's head. And so God promised his people also a Messiah who would establish and rule over his kingdom. That was the promise. If you want to know what the Old Testament's all about, in a nutshell, it is God's promise to send a Redeemer, and then the working out of that promise, starting in Genesis 12, verse 1, with the call of Abram. Think of it this way when you read your Old Testament. No matter where you are in it, it is about Jesus. Every Old Testament book, you can find Jesus in it. Doesn't matter. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you want to go to Job, go to the Psalms. Of course, go to the prophets. Go anywhere in it. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Go all through it. Jesus is the primary overarching subject and focus of the Old Testament. But it's the promise of Jesus, the promise of a Redeemer. So our Old Testament is the age of promise. Are we in the last of the last days? Well, let me answer that. Many of the general signs Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark 13 are happening all around us with increasing frequency. You remember, Jesus was in the great temple for the last time. He and the disciples walked out. He had a short time left on this planet before they crucified him. And so they're leaving the temple for the last time. The disciples are marveling at the beauty of the temple. It was a glorious structure. It was one of the wonders of the world. And they were saying, look, Lord, at this. Is this not a stupendous building? Isn't this amazing? And Jesus made his incredible, breathtaking statement of, I tell you truly, the day is coming when not one stone will be left upon another, but all will be torn down. Well, this blew them away. And they said, Jesus, when will these things be? And while we're at it, what'll be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Well, in Matthew 24, Jesus is answering those three questions. In Luke 21, he's answering them. And in Mark 13, he's answering them. And they were general signs at first. The Lord predicted widespread spiritual deception from false Christs, false prophets, and false teachers. And I might add here that when he talked about famines and earthquakes and all the various general signs that would precede his return, he only mentioned them one time, but he mentioned deception four times. He warned about spiritual deception four times in Matthew 24, four times. So when you take it in the balances and look at what was most on Jesus' heart, the very first thing he said to them, when they said, what will be the sign of your coming? The very first thing he said, beware lest any man deceive you. And then he went on three more times in the same chapter, talking about false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, deception. And so we need to take note that foremost on our Lord's mind regarding the last days was the danger of deception. He said it's going to be so prevalent. And I'm talking about deception in the church, not just worldly philosophical deception like New Age religions or some false philosophy Buddhism or whatever that isn't going to save anybody, but heavy deception infiltrating the church, where the wheat is growing up next to the tares. The tares are growing up right next to the wheat, and they look exactly the same until they are full grown. All the time in Jesus' teachings, he warned of deception. So I just want to point that out before we move on. He said there would be chronic wars and rumors of war. He said nation is going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And he also predicted global famines, plagues, global plagues called pestilences, and earthquakes in many different places. He further predicted fierce persecution, betrayals on behalf of loved ones. Those in your own household would betray you to save their own skin in the last days. And this one, lawlessness. Man, are we seeing lawlessness now or what? Lawlessness is when there is no law. People do not accept there's law. It's a Greek word that literally means no law. I don't honor the laws of God. I don't honor the laws of man. I am lawless. And that really is the core of the satanic nature. Satan is lawless. And the Antichrist is called the lawless one. But Jesus predicted in the last days, because the love of many grows cold, there's going to be runaway lawlessness. Look at the riots in our streets. Look at the burning of buildings. Look at the way people are talking to policemen. Look at the way they are cursing them and blaspheming God and blaspheming the name of Christ. And no fear of law, no fear of authority, no fear of consequences. Jesus talked about that day. He warned about it when they said, "What will be the sign of your coming, Lord, and of the end of the age?" But now, I believe the key sign that we are in the last days, the last of the last days, is the 1948 rebirth of Israel as a nation. Now, perk up and listen to this, because this was one of the most amazing fulfillments of Bible prophecy in modern times, if not the most amazing. The rebirth of Israel as an independent nation in 1948 is one of the most significant events in world history. Never before, folks, has an entire race of people been without a homeland for so long without permanently assimilating into surrounding populations. Let's remember, in 70 AD, per the prediction of Jesus, the Roman soldiers, the Roman army, surrounded Jerusalem. They laid siege to it. They starved the Jewish people on the inside. They kept pushing and pushing and pushing until finally they penetrated the walls, stormed the city. As Jesus said, they tore the temple down. There wasn't one stone left upon another. Over 1 million Jews were slaughtered. It was a horrible, horrible time in Jewish history, but it was all because they had rejected Messiah and brought upon themselves the judgment of God. Now, when that happened, the surviving Jews were scattered. It's called the diaspora, to the four corners of the world. They lost their homeland, they lost everything, and they were scattered everywhere.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
They were scattered, get this now, for 20 centuries. 2,000 years, the Jewish people inhabited other lands. But here's the miracle. They weren't assimilated. They didn't call it their home. They were in a city or in towns or in a nation, but they never saw the nation as their home. As a matter of fact, everywhere they went, they were persecuted. They were maligned. They were mocked. They experienced nothing but trouble. And so the miracle of the Jewish people is A, they survived, but B, they weren't assimilated into the surrounding nations. They didn't just say, "Well, we're home and that's it. And we feel great here and we love it here." That didn't happen. They were not assimilated. In just 100 years, now as time went on, I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but as time went on, the Jews around the world began to have inexplicable desire to return to the land of Israel. People would say to them, "Why are you going back to Israel?" And they would say, "I don't know. I don't know. I just, something in me is calling me back. I want to go back to my ancient homeland." Different nations, they had Jewish scientists. They had Jewish, the Jews have always been very brilliant people. Germany, for example, before Hitler, They were losing Jewish people, and they called it the brain drain. They were losing so many Jews, brilliant Jews, doctors, scientists, entrepreneurs, I mean, you name it. And when they began to return to Israel, in just 100 years, the Jewish population of Israel rose an amazing 7,700%. 7,700%. Now, why this mass immigration to Israel? Well, it's a fulfillment of prophecies which said that God would take his people from all the nations and bring them back into their own land. This was the miracle. Why are you going back to Israel? I don't know. It's in my heart. I don't know. I just have a desire. Well, it was a God-sent desire, and it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel predicted. Quote, this is God speaking through Ezekiel. Behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, the diaspora, the scattering, and I will bring them back into their own land. That's what God said. That's Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Is that not amazing? In the 20th and 21st centuries, Jews have come to Israel from all over the world. From wherever they've been scattered among the nations, they began to return. A little bit of history. The first wave of immigration started in 1882, and it particularly involved Jews from Russia and Romania. They began to lose these brilliant people. They began to return to Israel. Then in 1915, there were just 83,000 Jews in Palestine. That's not very many at all. That's nothing. But this increased to over 6.2 million Jews in 2015. Think about that. In just a few short years, they went from 83,000 Jews in Palestine to 6.2 million, resulting in an amazing 7,400% increase. In comparison, over the same period, the UK, the population of the UK, increased 55%. Compare the increase of 55% population growth to 7,400%. And you have an idea of how quickly the Jews were returning to their homeland. Why this return? Because it's an end time sign to the nations that God is about to intervene in world affairs. Listen, the crown jewel of Bible prophecy is Israel. Watch Israel. Watch what happens in Israel. Watch everything the news tells us about Israel. Now, don't believe everything they say, but watch the key events. When Donald Trump recently made Jerusalem the capital, that was huge. That was gigantic. That was biblical fulfillment, prophetic fulfillment. And that's something every Christian ought to have been watching and marveling at, because that was Bible prophecy fulfilled. Now, equally amazing is the fact that the nation of Israel was born in a day, which is exactly what Isaiah predicted. Listen to this. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? And he's pointing to the way that Israel would be born again as a nation. Not born again spiritually, but rebirth as a nation. And that's what happened. They were declared a nation on May 14th, 1948. It happened in a day. In a day, they were declared a nation. As Isaiah predicted, in a day, they became a nation again. Total fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Again, Israel is the crown jewel of Bible prophecy. You want to keep your pulse on Bible prophecy? Watch Israel. Now, further, God has supernaturally protected Israel since her rebirth as a nation, which was also prophetic fulfillment. Listen to what the Bible prophets promised and predicted about Israel. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Isaiah 54, verse 15 and 17. That was God's promise. I'm not going to promise you're not going to be attacked, but I am going to promise none of it's going to prosper. None of it's going to succeed. Here's another one, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. I will be a wall of fire around her, talking about Israel. He who touches you, Israel, touches the apple of my eye. So God again promised that he would protect Israel no matter what. Well, did the promises come true? Did the prophecies come true? Yes. in 1967, just a few years after they had been declared a nation again, the armies of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and later Iraq attacked Israel altogether with the goal of, quote, wiping Israel off the map. That was their stated intent. But you know what? It was only a six-day war. Israel defeated the attack in 6 days, even though the Arab armies had huge superiority in armor, aircraft, and troops. After the war, Israel held the Sinai, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and all of Jerusalem. So what looked like an overwhelming defeat against all odds, God was watching over the nation of Israel. It was fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Once they were reborn as a nation, God said, "You're the apple of my eye. You're going to be attacked from all around, but it will not succeed." It happened again in 1973. Egypt and Syria launched a coordinated attack on Israel in an attempt to win back territory lost in the Six-Day War. They tried to get some of the land back that they lost in that terrible defeat. But Iraqi forces soon joined the war, and Syria received support from Jordan. So again, overwhelming odds. The Arab armies used up-to-date Soviet weaponry. It looked like, hey, we've got them this time. The war was launched on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, when Israel is at rest and prayer. So it was a very unfair attack. And this took Israeli defense forces by surprise, and Israeli casualties were heavy. Nevertheless, after only 20 days, Egypt and Syria suffered total military defeat. And once again, God's word was true. His prophetic promises to Israel came to pass. These wartime victories over superior anti-missile technologies are fulfilled prophecy. The tiny nation of Israel, get this, is the size of New Jersey and has less than 10 million people, but she still stands unique among the nations. Why is she unique among the nations? Well, the answer is her existence, past, present, and future, is totally mapped out in the Word of God. No other nation has such a well-defined timeline of prophecy. Nations come and nations go, but according to the Bible, Israel will never disappear. Isn't that powerful? That is so powerful. So, it brings us back to the rebirth of Israel as a nation as I close. In 1948, when Israel was declared a nation again against all odds, it was the fulfillment of what the prophet Ezekiel had said. Quote, "Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land." Now listen to this. "And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel." Amos prophesied, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the way cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land." I'm going to say that again. "I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God." God says, "I'll bring them back and plant them there, and no one is going to uproot them." God has brought them back to stay, regardless of what anybody has to say about it. So, in closing, the rebirth of Israel after 20 centuries of dispersion around the world, the rebirth of Israel is, to me, the clear and top number one Bible prophecy fulfillment that signals we are in the last days. And so, if you want to know, how can I know we're in the last of the last days? I believe the rebirth of the nation of Israel is your number one sign.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.